Sheena Marie, or as I will refer to her forever and ever, amen, Sheena Shea, has been right about a couple things in life. Number one, good as gold is a bop. Number two, apples are a delicious fruit. And also, family life is unpredictable, and a little peace of mind goes a long way. Now, as a single woman living here in New York City, Pedro Pascal, it's your time. Oftentimes, I am checking in with my friends because safety is important and so is peace of mind. In fact, when I had a medical crisis a couple years ago, my friends didn't know where I was while I was in the hospital. The reason they knew something was wrong, true story, was because I didn't show up to a private shopping appointment downtown. That's where Life 360 comes in. Life 360 is a family connection and safety app that lets you keep track of the people and things that are most important to you. The people you need to know are okay. A focus that Sheena Shea keeps in mind. While Life 360 can be used for so many reasons, the option of ensuring that your kids are protected while giving them independence, checking on your friends, or for me, as someone who has some chronic health issues, to ensure that people know where I am. That's why I love Life 360. Another thing I love about it is that with all of these lovely European schleps, in addition to sharing my flight information with my mom, she can see exactly when I've landed because of the app. Parents have enough to worry about. Breathe easier with Life 360. Visit life360.com or download the app today and use code Andy's Girls to get 1 month of the gold package for free, plus 15% off all tiles. That's life360.com, code Andy's Girls. It's good as gold. The only thing better than watching TV is taking it personally. You guys, it's Taking It Personally. I'm so excited to have return guest AG and Tipper, a certain someone, back to deep dive a show that deserves to be discussed. You know him as a New York Times bestselling author whose most recent book, I Finally Bought Some Jordans, completing the trilogy, was released this spring. Welcome back to Taking It Personally, Michael Arsenault. Michael, how are we?
I'm good and so ready to talk about this mess. I'm so excited. I love this show.
I can't believe how much I like The Valley. How does it make us feel this good? The Valley is doing this.
Right. I mean, I'm an LA transplant, but even The Valley alone, all I think is like heat and it's too far. And when I saw the trailer, was not into it, but wow, I'm so happy to be wrong. I don't know if I should say I miss Jax. That's not right. But Kristen Doty, welcome back into my life.
Honestly, I'm not mad about Jax. I might be mad at Jax, but yes. I like that. I'm just going to say it. I like that he's back on Bravo. Like, he's so toxic and so weird and so funny that there's no one else like, there's no one like Kristen and there's no one like Jax.
Yeah, no, Jax is really good at what he does. He's a messy bitch that lives for drama, and he excels when you put him in the right environment, because he should be more of the villain than Kristen is right now, but he's just good at what he does.
Okay, honest question. When you think The Valley and villain, what name comes to mind? Dead ass honest.
Janet.
Yep, amen. Right answer.
It's Janet.
I've been saying that for a minute, and I was honestly initially a little afraid of saying it, but like, she gives such excellent villain energy, and she gets away with it so successfully on The Valley because she is a communicator. She is well-read. She knows how to string a sentence together. She sounds more mature than everyone else, but she is just as fucking conniving, if not more so, and I love that.
Yes, she's doing evil in pleasant tones. It's a skill set. It's an art. She's very good at it. I think I don't know if it was the smartest to take on Kristen the first season. It's only made people rally behind her. But for my viewing pleasure, it's fantastic.
This whole thing with her friend Simon, like the flashes to Simon at the party, I was so confused initially because I was like, why is the camera panning to this like random fucking guy? And then it all made sense when Jasmine is like, what are you doing? Are you recording? Get out of our goddamn business. Then I was like, oh, this is because he was transcribing. I don't know that he was recording. He says he wasn't, but he was transcribing word to word because that is what Janet told him to do.
It was so, when they panned him, I was like, and looked at, and I looked down, I was like, wow. And when Jess, she called him Harry at the spa, exactly. I love a lesbian with a quick wit, yes.
Honestly, and that scene later on when she called Zach and Simon is back with her, it's just, it felt like they thought that they were on the side of good. And those are my favorite scenes to watch when someone knows that they're the protagonist and they're, and everyone's told them that. And maybe they just, you know, came out of the game just assuming it. She thinks that she is a little bit, speaking of RHONY, she's giving a little, I assume I'm Bethany seasons 1 through 3 right now. And that was just the wrong assumption to make, ma'am. But it makes for great TV. It makes it great that she is so unbelievably wrong about how we will receive her.
Yeah, she really thought she was like, all right, Jackson, Kristen, you got me in here. But like, no, this shit is mine. Queen HBIC, like, no. You're not Bethany. You're, I don't know what you are, Ramona in her youth. I don't know what that is. That's not Ramona. It's someone else.
That's not Ramona.
It's someone else, but it's not, no. And Pink Boots, is that what she, if that was actually yes. about oh the game?
That was so funny. So, because at first I was like, wait, what is he saying? And then the camera literally cut to the Pink Boots. And I was like, oh, okay, he was being literal. He was being literal in this moment. How do you feel about Zach?
That hair. I'm sorry, I shouldn't start with that. But the hair is a lot. The tears about not being invited were a lot. And actually, I saw last night the tweet war, or well, the Instagram to Twitter war that was happening, where Janet accused Kristen and Zach of being happy that she was wishing her to miscarry about somebody. That was way too dark.
Incredibly triggering.
I was like, what are we doing? I don't think he responded. I hope he didn't. Like, let's not go that far. Zach himself, I kind of don't get, well, I mean, I get that he's there. He's just really there to help the mess, I feel like. And a lot of it is backfire, because didn't all of that start essentially that, because the thing about, which one did they call racist? I'm sorry. Who do they try to call racist because of the disagreement about don't say gay bill?
Michelle.
Michelle. Okay. That is basically Zach and Janet's doing, no? By telling Kristen?
Yeah, it started with them, I assume, talking about what they were going to bring up on the show. And then it snowballed when Kristen was made aware.
Janet is much, I mean, she's not doing it as well as she thinks she is either. But Zach is more of a disaster in that respect, because I'm like, that, I don't know how we got from one strand of prejudice to the other. But like, it was a swing and a miss and an odd ping pong. I don't get it. But I kind of feel indifferent to him so far, other than like, what's up with the hair? Why are you crying? And I will say, if you were trying to get an invitation to, what did she call it? Not her moon landing, but not a
baby moon. Moon.
Baby moon. Sorry.
A baby moon.
I will say his approach was not the best. It was a little aggressive. How do you feel about Zach?
I don't know. A lot of it right now is honestly attached to confusion about Janet. I feel like he's a good friend of. I actually wonder, this hadn't occurred to me until this moment. He's a friend of on the show. I believe that he's a friend of, and Jasmine is a friend of on the show. I wonder if the reason he was upset, similar to Sonia and Dorinda, was because he knew he wasn't going to be paid for those episodes if he wasn't invited on the trip. Like, I don't know that that's the case. That could be easily disproved. But if his setup is similar to how some contracts have worked, especially if you're not in the main cast, I wonder if he was kind of spinning out, not just because he wouldn't be filmed and wouldn't be a part of the plot and might prove to be less valuable potentially, but also maybe there was some sort of financial ramification for that, for not filming. That could be very easily disproved, but I do kind of wonder about that a little. And also, I don't know anything about Baby Moons, but since when is that a couples only event? Like, Jasmine went alone because her girlfriend wasn't able to attend. So Zach is the only, unless I'm forgetting, so Zach is the only single person in the cast. He's also both single and not full time. Is the reason he was invited because it was a couples trip or because Janet doesn't fuck with him right now?
I lean towards your explanation that it is the financial incentive, not a part of it. And then the excuse on camera is to fault Janet, because I'm remembering now, like, it is odd that he serves his purpose as a friend of. I think he's fine so far, even if I'm confused about where exactly he fits. But I'm remembering that initially, before Kristen met Luke, he was supposed to donate sperm so they could have a child together. And I feel like if that were to happen, it would be a much different show, and he would have more of an upfront role, a larger role in the show, because that the whole point is, because to me, I feel like, I get that there, I mean, Jasmine isn't single, but her girlfriend isn't around yet, but I'm sure she might come around later. But to be a single person on the show is a weird bit of an island to stand on, because it's so couple centric. And I do think he should have been included. I mean, if he's on the show, he's on the show. Let him come. He could bring somebody, he'll be fine. He wouldn't be the first gay man to be around a bunch of straight people celebrating a baby coming. Like, we know how to adjust, we're fine. But I do wonder, like, you were you initially gonna have like a larger role because Christian was leaning towards that? Which, honestly, and that's, I mean, I don't know a lot about Luke, but I don't know where that's gonna go. And actually, her original plan with Zach might have been better. I don't know, that's not for me to say, but yeah, I do think it's probably more of like, I'm not getting paid if I don't come. What are you doing? You messing with my check. I'm mad at you.
I would hope that Kristen having conversation with Zach about whether or not he would donate sperm so that she could have a child. I would hope that had nothing to do with production, because if any part of them in their mind was like, this will be good for the show, I mean, that is just the brain flow, I guess, for a certain kind of reality TV star that freaks me the fuck out. Maybe it could be that this is a good idea and also it could work on the show. But if she was doing it to do, I mean, I don't know. Who am I to say? I've never gone through that, being on a reality TV show or having a kid, but I don't know. I'm not sure.
I would like to think it's more of a real life thing that, I thought more of an and than because.
100%. That it would not be a plot device, although honestly anything is possible at this point. You know, you brought up Luke. We did see their therapy appointment, which I thought was interesting, that you could get a couples counselor on like fucking Uber Eats. The fact that he showed up to their apartment, to me, I mean, I guess if they're quote unquote busy people, which LOL, this person should come there. But if he has an office space, wouldn't it be good to take these people out of their environment so they're in an environment that feels more neutral in which to have a conversation?
I'm assuming that doctor did not want any like trace of that, of his actual office on that show.
That would also make sense. Yeah.
But it was fascinating watching that. Okay, you all want to have a child together. Okay, you don't want to talk about money or having. You don't want to talk about residence. I think Luke is very bad at, like, you know, school tuition is expensive, and Chris is like, I don't, no. Yeah, it was interesting to watch, like, as committed as they are to have a child, they don't want to discuss all of the things that go with raising a child, ideally together, Because I did see some of Christian's story with the gun and WD-40 and some jacket. It gave Lana Del Rey era.
Wait, what? No.
I think she was on the range with Luke or something. It was like a gun and it was something else. But it gave Lana Del Rey. It gave that. Yeah. That Luke gives me go to the range. And being from Texas, a lot of people go to the range for a date. That's rural romance in that regard. But yeah, so, but I mean, I don't know how to describe them. They seem to get along just fine, but not when it comes to actually what they say that they want to do. Because where does he live? I mean, well, Kristen right now, and didn't he just get plumbing that I remember? Did I hear that right? That he just got indoor plumbing? He just got indoor plumbing, like his place in Colorado. Like, he's country. He said something like that. I remember that in the early episodes. He said something about like getting indoor plumbing. I was like, does he have an outhouse? What's happening? But some people live like, hopefully I'm not remembering that wrong, but I would know. You don't misremember that. No, I remember saying something about plumbing and like upgrading his Colorado thing. He gives me very particular type of guy, which is fine, but you know, I can't see Kristen living in Colorado. She said that herself. She would be bored out of her mind. She's not living there. So I'm assuming he's going to eventually come to LA, but that would be a hard adjustment. I don't see how that gets to baby. I could see pregnancy and, you know, a nice kid, but do we see them for the long haul if they don't want to talk about money yet? There's a lot happening that's confusing to me still. I feel like I'm confusing you as I keep talking, so I'm gonna be quiet.
Yeah, no, I'm giving you a face because I'm so stuck on the outhouse, and now I can't stop thinking about Luke on Summer House and like that whole meme of what you order and what arrives. And I'm just thinking you order Luke on Summer House and what arrives is Luke on The Valley. Was his name Luke on Summer House? Yeah, it was. Remember Luke, who was toxic, who liked to chop wood?
I haven't watched Summer House.
Oh my God, Michael, immediately. Started season 3. You have my permission.
Okay, season 3. That's good.
Started season 3. You can go back and do 1 and 2, but time's the clock is
I'm going to hurry up. That's my next assignment.
This season is so good. It's so good. And you are going to have maybe potentially some feelings about Carl and Lindsay, and it's going to ping pong throughout the season.
Okay.
It's going to ping pong. And also what Kyle and Amanda are doing right now. I mean, if you are looking for hashtag like girl power and you're not seeing it on Vanderpump Rules, you're going to see it this season on Summer House. I like 100% fucking stan. Wait a second. Okay. But going back, sorry. Taking us down a meandering path. Welcome to Taking It Personally. Luke, how do I feel about Luke? Well, Luke seemed to be the one who wanted to have uncomfortable conversations.
Yes.
Right?
To his credit, he did. She doesn't.
Right. Do they want to be, not that this has to be everyone's goal in life, but like, do they want to be partners with each other? Are we thinking that the finish line is having the kid and then the race is done? Or are we thinking we need to figure out ways to like live with and support each other because we want to stay together and we are also talking about bringing a child potentially into this world? Like, I'm not sure, not to say you can't have both, but like, what's the priority here? What's the foundation?
They speak as if they want to have a child and have a partnership that suggests they're together for the long haul. That was, I think he said something to that effect when they talked to that Uber Eats therapist. And they kind of mentioned that in passing in between. And their lives do seem now very intertwined because I remember they do that podcast together now. So they present like, we want a baby, we want a family, this is it. But when you actually watch them particularly have conversations just with each other, I'm like, you don't sound like a couple that has real plans to be together. at least not in the way you all, because she's not going to Colorado. And she says she doesn't want to live in Colorado. He doesn't like LA, but he's there right now. So that's why, I mean, I could see a baby happening. Like, I can imagine when Luke, off of his hopefully not just outhouse property in Colorado, looks nice in a suit. They meet at a wedding. They get together behind a tent, as I recall. They have a lot of chemistry. This show happens. He's with the shits. I'm here. What's up? Okay. But this family life situation, I'm like, okay, so. And he's been saying, like, you know, tuition is expensive. LA is expensive. homes are expensive. He keeps reminding Kristen to like, yo, this shit costs money. What are we doing? Can we talk about this? And she's like, no. If she gives like, don't give me bad vibes. I just want to make sure my uterus is popping to have this baby, which I get it. If that's the immediate goal, because I recall she's good to go. They just need to keep going. But once you get pregnant, like, you have to decide, where are we living? How is this going to work? She's not going to Colorado. So he's either selling that property and going to LA, or that's going to be some kind of like, you go to the country for summers with your daddy. I don't know, but it's given, I don't know. It's not adding up. They have chemistry, but it's not adding up.
Paris is always a good idea. And when I schlep on over to Europe, to my favorite city in the world, I bring with me a few important phrases that I have learned from housewives. C'est bon, chic c'est la vie. Je m'appelle the Countess, n'est-ce pas, Luann? And while those key phrases are important when speaking to any French bravoholic, for other matters of life, that's where Rosetta Stone comes in. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including, of course, French. It features fast language acquisition. It immerses you in so many ways. There's no English translations, so you really learn to speak, to listen, and to think in that language. It's an intuitive process. You pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. J'adore Chris Manzo. Et toi? There's a speech recognition filter which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's convenient with desktop and app options, and it's an amazing value. Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, AGs can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today. After watching Lala and Sandoval's behavior on the Vanderpump Rules reunion, I developed such an intense thirst. I guess it's contagious when you're talking about Vanderpump Rules. So thank goodness for Fiji Water. Fiji Water is the number one premium imported bottled water brand in the United States. It has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH, and unlike the other two top premium bottled water brands, Fiji Water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. In fact, Fiji Water has more than double the electrolytes as the other two, giving it signature soft, smooth taste. As someone who has spoken on the pod time and time again about the importance of having electrolytes, especially this summer, Fiji fits into my lifestyle so well. Before going on a little bit of a stroll, just a short one in these warmer summer temps, I grab my Fiji Water and I am out the door. Unlike some other premium bottled waters in the market, there's no ingredient statement on Fiji Water because there's nothing added to the water itself. Fiji Water is Earth's finest water. And as someone who's currently deep in the throes of watching Bravo's Finest Television, also known as Summer House, I know that having Fiji Water by my side is keeping me hydrated and refreshed. So Lala, take that. I know I'm one of many people who struggles with the all-or-nothing fads. Juice cleanses, soup diets, keto, hours and hours of cardio. If this cycle sounds familiar to you, and it definitely does to me, there's a better, more sustainable way to lose weight. Ro provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Ro to help them lose weight. And let's talk about the big O, obesity. 4 in 10 Americans struggle with it, so there should be no shame in the weight game. It's okay to talk about weight loss. and talking about it in a way that feels healthy. With Roe, you can sign up online from the comfort of your own home. That's right, the people's couch. This means no scheduling a doctor's appointment, no commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. Average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to roe.co/andyscrolls. Sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's roe.co/andyscrolls. Before being prescribed medication, patients must complete an online medical visit, lab test, and qualify for medication based on their BMI, lab results, medical history, and the discretion of a Roe-affiliated healthcare provider.
There's so much there to unpack. I feel like obviously, listen, this is it's the unfair part of aging from what people tell me. Again, I'm very young, is that when you get to a point in time, it can be a little bit of a crisis point of pushing through an interest maybe in expanding your family, in creating a family. The fact that there is, it does appear to be a sense of a ticking clock. That's what women are often told. I mean, the simple fact that I don't even know if it's still called this, but for like a woman 35 or 36 or older to have your pregnancy defined as a geriatric pregnancy and you're in your mid-30s, that's wild. I mean, I'm not a doctor, but that feels like somebody needs to goddamn rewrite that.
It's like that geriatric millennial term. It's very, I hate that term.
Yeah, let's just take geriatric out of it and everybody's young. Some of us are less young than other people, but like maybe call it less. No, that's probably not a great term. I'm not really that kind of takes me out. I actually think the first time I heard that was when Halle Berry was talking about the fact that her pregnancy, because she was in her late 30s or early 40s when she had her first child, was called geriatric. And I was like, note to self, that's absolutely goddamn nuts. So how do I feel about it? I mean, Kristen, I don't know. I'm watching these two people sort of get introduced to each other. They don't live in the same state or coast and whatnot, which makes it more complicated. I did actually like the therapist. I thought that was an interesting conversation. You know, I think I'm not quite sure what to say. It feels like, you know, I'm like playing with a paper towel on the desk in the office as I do this because I just don't know what to say. It's one of those like I wish them the best. You know, he at points makes good points and she's always good TV. I don't know how that factors into the decision that they're making, but at the end of the day, it's their decision. If they want to do this and they're on the same page, which they're definitely not, then something might happen or not. She has the right to make the decision to decide of whether or not she's ready. Maybe she will be, maybe she won't. I feel like at the end of the day, it's your first kid. Nobody's really ready to a certain extent. You don't know how your life's going to change. People tell you your life changes, but that's not the same thing as your life actively changing. So
I'm rooting for her to get knocked up and I will lift her in prayer about whatever happens afterwards. Life isn't fair. Get pregnant at 40 is real. I have friends that around that age are younger. It could get very expensive. All these different things you have to do. It's not even a guarantee. Do what you have to do. I didn't like how Jax judged her earlier in the season about all of that. Like, please, Liz, if you were ready to be anybody's father, but you are, and bless it. And to be fair, while I still think she's a mess in some respects, from her firing to this show and the scandal thing, I did listen to her podcast for a while and she talked about the firing. She, to me, has shown signs of maturity and that she has grown in a lot of ways. I think when it comes to the self-destructive stuff on television and all of that, that's, I won't say innate, but it's something that might take a little longer to change. But I don't think that has any real bearing on her being a mother. And I honestly say, if anything, someone that determined to be a mom, I hope she gets that chance. And I think she seems like she would be a fond mom, like, because someone that wants it so much, you know, like I root for her. Again, I don't know what happens after that. I think Luke's going to have to tell her, like, yo, it's expensive. But yeah, I'm rooting for her. That's all I got to.
Well, I couldn't have said it better. In fact, I absolutely did not say it better. I did not say it even a little bit. So I fully agree with that perspective. I don't know. It feels a little chaotic what they're doing right now, but life can be chaotic and we'll see what happens when it happens. There's no way to figure it out. I mean, there are people who seemingly have a lot of foundation and a lot of, you know, potential financial stability who are fucking messes. So having some of these things when it comes to like Jax's conversation, it wasn't really about financial security as much as it was maybe relationship stability. But again, who has relationship stability on the Valley? And a bunch of these people have kids. Nia and Danny do. But I don't know.
They're lovely.
You know, and actually, and Janet and Jason do. You know, like they're, yes. Even though Jason doesn't know who he married and he's like shocked that she ever gossips and he thinks it's because she quit her office job. And it's like, sweetie, no, that's what she was doing as well. 9 to 5. You just weren't around to see it. So it's, you know, you don't know what's going to happen until it happens. I mean, there are people who are blessed with potential great relationships or what we think of as great relationships, and then circumstances change. So, you know, at the end of the day, this is something that she wants and they both want. So, you know, wish them the best. And I can't really say that about other people on the show. I actually think, you know, like there's a lot to say about Jesse and Michelle, but to be perfectly honest, the moment that stood out the most for me was when Brittany said she couldn't tell Jax that she had an upset stomach or was feeling well because he would essentially yell at her for that. Can you even imagine you're married to someone and you can't tell them you're not feeling well because they're going to shame you for that?
I feel so bad for her in that moment. I do not like how he speaks to her. When they had an argument about having another child and he was talking about professional restraints that would put more restraints on their marriage, he didn't say it the nicest way, but I also think that was one of the few moments he didn't seem like a complete, well, a Jax. I'm just used to that like that. But when it came to this, I felt so, that's just like, if you can't tell, you're sick and you can't tell your husband without fear of him yelling at you and berating you, not only on national TV in front of your friends, like that was low. And wait, I'm going to ask, but this is not to blame. Did she drink before that? Because I felt like she did not.
I don't think so, because I think that was like, wasn't that a whole fucking thing? Or is that the trailer for next week where Jax asks if she drank and all the women say no? And then she like, I think I'm mixing scenes, and then she comes out of the room and she's like, mm-hmm. How dare you try to humiliate me on TV? I think all the way he asked the ladies and they were like, she didn't drink because she had like a gallbladder removed when she was in her early 20s. She has like tummy issues.
She does. Now, I don't like how he speaks about her. I don't like how he talks to her. I hate that she's in that situation. I don't fault her at all for feeling away. I look forward to watching her curse him out next week. Mm-hmm. It's not a but, it's an and. Mm-hmm. This is just more about how Jax doesn't know how to, I'm not going to say he's a bad husband about a new marriage, but he doesn't know how to speak to people. I can imagine finding vomit in a trash bag from the night before would that happen is kind of gross. And if you have those issues, while I can't tell you what to do, I could imagine, you know, maybe not tequila, something else. But I say all this to say, like, there are better ways to express concern for your spouse's well-being that don't question her as a mother, that don't embarrass and humiliate her. That is really foul. If you feel as if she needs to change some of her habits for her own betterment, you can articulate that in a much gentler, respectful way. But he's a jackass, so he doesn't know. She deserves better than that. And frankly, if she is taking shots of tequila and having those moments, it's because she's also struggling with the fact that her husband isn't giving her what she needs in her marriage, and she needs some type of escape. So it's like, if you feel a way, articulate it, be respectful, but maybe check the root of why she feels like she needs to do all. And I'm saying need, like it's overcompensating, but she's taking a break with her girl. She wants to party. She's a mom. She's dealing with a child that, like, I'm special, but he needs like a little bit more help, which she'll be able to get out of with the help that they can pay for. Like, that's great. But she has a lot on her plate and she's not getting any from her husband, which she clearly wants. And she's also changed so much about her body and her appearance to appease you, and that you're now basically treating her as if you reject her and you're not attracted to her, or even you're not, even if you are attracted, like, sex is not the priority and she's a sexual person. Also, while you're wagging your finger and yelling at her, maybe figure out, what can I do to make my wife feel better? It's none of those things. So I just feel really bad for her all around. That's not how you speak to somebody, because she's put up with a lot with him. And I see a lot of people online saying, you know who you married. Okay, yes, you know who you married. But at the same time, we don't know what he's told her. We don't know how he's changed or how he hasn't. She's also in love. They have a family. Like, there's a lot of layers to that. So I don't like the pile on for Brittany. Even I saw a comment where she said she didn't get her revenge body. Like, she didn't get all extra skinny. Like, she did some interview about that and it was a comment. I feel bad for her because it seems like she's juggling a lot on camera. And while it is part of her job, it's just, that's a lot of piling on. And her husband should be the one uplifting her, not making her feel worse about herself.
I couldn't agree more. I really couldn't. I think that she's dealing with a lot. His use of shame as a weapon is frustrating to watch because he's so consistent with it. And I think that he has the right to have a question or to have a conversation with his partner about whether or not her drinking and drinking with the knowledge that she might have a particular medical situation that means that when she has even a thimble of alcohol, it's going to affect her differently than everyone else. There's like a state of denial that some people, myself included, live in and experience when you have like chronic health issues or when you've like dealt with something, where I will do things not because I'm thinking I'm being irresponsible, but just because sometimes you like hope that something is going to go differently than maybe a life or several years of experience have told you that it is. And I think that if he has, you know, an issue with her drinking and how she is the next day as a parent, that's a conversation that they can have. But also, he seems to be doing the same thing. And the discrepancy is just so wide because she's not saying the same thing back to him that he's saying to her. And his voice is just so much louder. But then it comes out at softer moments of like, do I also drink? Oh, yeah. I mean, I drink too. I like going out and now I own a bar. Well, she's not talking about you the way that you're talking about her, which makes his disrespect just so much more obvious and unmissable. And I mean, I don't know. It's tough to watch. They're dealing with a lot of stress. We don't have a lot of info of what is going on with their child. You know, it's not a great situation to be in. And also, they've had several years of lost income because of the time in which they were fired, which was, you know, after they bought that expensive house. Like, I think that they're just juggling a lot. And she has such an additional burden because she's with Jax. He just requires so much. You just have to quiet yourself to such an extent to get through the day with him in a way that would be so defeating to me if I was in that situation, God forbid. Like, it just would be really tough because I would feel like I was not competing with my partner, but to feel like I had to figure out a way to sort of get around my partner and live my life, which is a challenge that no one should have to bear. It just feels like such a difficult, really, truly difficult life to live.
Yes, and another ungrateful man, because when they were lost their jobs from that, they were surviving off of her, I'm assuming, that Jenny Craig check that she had for a while.
Like, she had better sponsorships than he did. Yeah.
Well, she's a lot more likable. I hope that Jax either figures that out, atones, and win his wife back, or Brittany tap her inner Michelle and get away from him permanently. It's Michelle, right? The one that's leaving Jesse.
Yeah, the one that absolutely has already left him. Can we talk about the single weirdest part of that episode, which was like him walking in with that crocheted hat, which was like sign number one. This is an LOL because he has decided he is like the cartoon. Like, I am now at peace because I had this wild weekend. When he kisses her, was it on the cheek? It was like some sort of kiss at the end of that conversation. I yelled. No, I watched it more than once. I yelled both times. Both times I was shocked. It was so uncomfortable. She doesn't want it. We definitely don't want it. I could make the argument he doesn't want it either. He knows this is done. I don't know when she started texting other people, which is to me honestly unrelated from their separation. She's been out of this for so long. The way that she talks about him and she's like, yeah, I'd love if he changed his entire personality and who he is because he's such a monster and I hate being with him every minute of the day. And then he's like, guess what? I changed my personality. And she's like, cool. But to me, you're already dead. Like, it's just it's so this woman hates this man, and it's just, and he knows it. He feels it. It's in his bones.
She got on this show to divorce him, and when he spoke of marriage essentially as something he didn't want to fail, as it's like, I made a commitment, therefore I'm in this, and if she cheats or does something, I'll tell our daughter it's her fault. He is like an 80s villain. Like, he just seems like he would be the star of some finance movie, some dickhead. Like, he is the
Wall Street. He's the Wolf of Wall Street.
Yes. He gives everything about that, down to his hair, too. Like, it just screams 80s villain. But I'm like, she does not like him. And I actually loved how when Jax, although he put it on Doty, I'm like, you're the one that's been telling everybody, not her. But when he opens up and she's like, yeah, like how they close it, like, yeah, I've been texting other people. I thought that was actually amazing. I was like, you've been waiting. You've been like, somebody help me get out of this. Let me just get rid of him. But no, he's a jerk. And yeah, if you don't want your marriage to fail because you don't like to fail, sure. But what are you doing to actually show your wife that you love her and committed to her? Like, I don't blame her for texting other people. I don't blame her for doing whatever she chose to do. He seems pretty impossible to deal with. And I still, the kind of man that would on national TV would say, so I can tell our daughter it was her fault. What's wrong with you? Like, what's wrong with you? And how do you think that'll endear, anyone else will endear you, like endear yourself to them? Jackass move. I didn't like that. I'm very like, Michelle, leave him, girl. And I can't wait to find out who you've been texting next week, because I'm pretty sure he makes you smile, unlike that man.
So she's been like texting a couple people, sending a couple photos or whatever.
Good for her.
I know.
I shouldn't encourage, but good for her.
No, good for her. But like, we've gone from famous director to now famous actor. Who? I mean, it's like, this is like a literal Hollywood Mad Libs. I need to know the answer to both of these, by the way. I know that people have their suspicions about directors, but I don't know what fuck. I mean, an actor, that could be like literally anyone on the... But when she said famous, I was like, we need to know exactly who this is. Please, God, someone tell us. Someone give us a hint. Was he a Spider-Man at some point in time? Like, what's the energy here? Are we like in a Tobey Maguire? I don't know why he keeps coming to mind or has come to mind just now, but like, I feel like it's somebody who's famous, but like not sought after right now, which is not not in any way an insult to Michelle. I know it's somebody, I feel like it's somebody who's famous, but not a Leo, but maybe one of Leo's friends.
Yes. Honestly, I feel like, I don't know, it's just something about her, based on what we heard about the director and actor. As soon as she steps back outside, well, she's already stepped back outside, but fully outside, she'll be fine. She'll have somebody else much better. She might leave the show or bring him on. Like, she's great. She'll be fine. He will be a mess because he gives bitter.
Well, and don't they work together? Aren't they real estate partners?
I forgot about that.
Plus, they have the kind of house that like Stassi has, which that would be my pick. Not this like valley shit. Like, no, give me Hollywood Hills energy. Like, I don't know how great that is for space for a kid, but like, that's not my concern. My concern is like living cool. Like, that's 1,000% it. So I don't know. I assume
like with many, many Bravo men of present and past, including Jax, that he's just going to set up camp there. Although maybe he's already moved out. I actually don't know. Are they still living together?
He does give, I want this house. I cannot live in the valley, because he's been especially particular about where he lives. But you know what? Even if he tried to spite her that way, she'll just end up in a nicer house down the street. I have faith in her. I have no doubt in Michelle. Like, yeah, that house is nice, though. You're right.
I actually don't even know if I particularly like Michelle. I'm certain.
That's the same.
Right? Like, I'm definitely like team Michelle, quote unquote. But like, do I like this person? I don't particularly think I do. The only people that I genuinely like are Jasmine, who I, to be honest, don't really think about, and Nia. Like Nia and Danny, who I think about a lot. Like, those are the couple people that I feel genuinely like full on positive about. And then everybody else is varying shades of mess or strong dislike, which is, I mean, welcome to Bravo.
Yes. I feel the same. Well, you know what? Jason seems quite amazing.
Oh yeah. I forgot about him. I like Jason. I keep forgetting he's here. I like Jason. I forget that he's on the show. And then when he says something, I'm like, oh, there's Jason. And then I forget immediately as soon as he's done talking.
And I feel like he might actually know the messy woman he married, but he's like, okay, girl, I love you. Just whatever. Because I could see his face in the confessionals. He's kind of adorable in that way. He's just like, do your thing, whatever. Because Jan has been waiting for this moment for a while.
Poor Jason is so stressed out about like, he is stressed. Amount of trauma. You can see it. Like, his body is like buckling. He's like, why am I here? This like isn't nice. People aren't being nice to each other. That's kind of fun to watch. I can't believe. I get their dumb fucking excuse of like, oh, we're filming the new season and we like jump back into it. Go fuck yourself. You can do two things at once. We've seen it done very unsuccessfully on New Jersey, so you're probably not wrong, but I demand it anyway. I cannot believe that we are not getting a reunion. Just throw them on Watch What Happens. Give us 22 minutes. Like, give us something. This can't be a budget thing, and these people are all available at all times. So make it happen. Give us something. I cannot believe we're not getting a reunion. And apologies to Below Deck. I'm sure they're all wonderful people and it's like the number one most rated show on Bravo. But like, if you can get the Stews and all these people who are working on boats all across the world together in one room to film, you can get the cast of The Valley. They're available right now. All of them have reunion beepers. They're just waiting for your call. Like, make it fucking happen. It's not too late. It is too late, but it's not.
I do want more for them than Watch What Happens Live, but I feel you, just because I don't think they get paid if they do that one. But they could send Andy out here, book some studio and get them. Like, it's not that expensive. Like, I agree. We need a reunion. Like,
put it in a conference room. They're not going to fly out, Andy. They'd rather fly out. Put them in a conference room at Bravo. I've been there. It's very nice. Just put them around a table. I'm not asking for a lot. Like, we could make this into a joke. Just hold on to one of the other reunion sets or maybe schedule it. It can still happen. We've still got time.
Because they're having a reunion on our timelines, apparently. But we need something. Because I want Janet and Dodie to go at each other. We need to see that happen.
There is something wonderful about the change of seasons here in New York. No, not just upping my electrolytes when I go for a relatively short walk. It's the smell of summer grilling, especially for whatever reason, I don't know why, in the West Village. It's sort of my seasonal clock. When I start to smell people, that sounds crazy. When I start to smell summer grilling outside, I know summer is upon us. And listen, I can't dig into my veggie dog or veggie burger without some bread or buns. Just because it's summer doesn't mean you have to cut out all the carb-heavy foods you love. Hero Bread reinvented the bread and buns that make summer great. Fluffy, delicious flavor and texture with no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. For me, getting enough fiber and cutting down on sugar are key elements to feeling better throughout the day. Hero Bread also has mouth-watering limited edition bakes, like the popular 2-gram net carb Hero Croissant, as Luann would say.
C'est bon, c'est bon.
Keep the carbs out of summer without compromising flavor with Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co and use code Andy at checkout. That's Andy at hero.co. Now that the temperature is rising, and I don't just mean the heat coming between Lindsay versus Carl, it can be really difficult to get my hair under control. I have like this wavy, curly, frizzy, natural texture that I genuinely love, but it can be really difficult to find a product that works for my hair without feeling heavy and genuinely, genuinely counteracts the frizziness that I get naturally if I don't blow out my hair. That's why I love Way. Whether your strands are fine, medium, or like mine, thick, Way has shampoo and conditioner that's your type. I love the detox shampoo because it does exactly that. It detoxes your hair. And because I am a spiritual blonde and do have some color processing, the shampoo helps clean away all the schmutz that accumulates, leaving my hair feeling lighter and better than it did before. God bless that apple cider vinegar. And yes, for that frizz, I rely on the anti-frizz cream. I put it in after I shower, do a little scrunch of my hair, and I'm good to go. Way keeps me looking like me, just a little bit elevated.
Jesse Solomon, have you heard my call?
If you want volume, Way's Fine Hair and Conditioner will give you a lift without weighing you down. Not sure what your type is? Take Way's hair quiz to find out. Wash your way to healthier hair with shampoos and conditioners made just for you. Go to theouai.com and use code Andy for 15% off your entire purchase. That's theouai.com, code Andy. The week before Aunt Flo comes to town is always a tough one. I just feel off. I don't feel like myself. My cravings go absolutely wild. And in New York City, when you can order anything at any time, it certainly doesn't help. Thankfully, now it's easier to manage PMS with Estro Control. And for those who are going through menopause or premenopause, when it can be equally a struggle to find comfort in your body, then you have to try Hormone Harmony. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony and Estro Control, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. And P.S., BT dubs, Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it. But it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold. Hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts, low moods, poor sleep, and feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas. Hormone Harmony can help with all of those things. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com, HAPPYMAMMOTH.com, and use the code AndysGirls for 15% off today.
Well, what Janet is accusing Zach and maybe Kristen of saying about, and it's very triggering, about pregnancy loss is so dark. That's so dark and so vile to hear that for the first time on social media on a comment that I saw reposted is like so bleak. Can we please respect the audience enough to process this, let alone the woman, the two women and this person? And I mean, it's just, It's not great. I don't want to hear about that on social media. And I do think we need some resolution from it. We can't just be like, oh, we're filming next season. Let's talk about what someone posted on social. No, I assume that the cast knows about this. If it happened, which I mean, give benefit of the doubt, I assume it did. It's so dark. Not, I don't think Janet is going to make that. That's not the way that I think of Janet as conniving. I think she's manipulative. I don't think she's a liar, except maybe other aspects of the show I do, but like not with this. That's not something that she would ever make light of. I 100% take her at her word that it happened. We need to talk about it.
That was a wild thing to read, way too dark. And for Zach's sake, I hope he didn't say anything really close to that. But like you said, that's not something you just pull out of thin air. That needs to be subtle, but with a camera crew and someone holding a reunion host mic, not maybe Andy because they're going to fly him out. But no, we deserve a reunion.
And also, if the cast is all back, like how do you not focus on that for like the first quarter of the season at least? Like, is everybody back?
That's what I thought. Even the breakup people, they're all back.
Oh, yeah. This is the time that you double down.
I love this middle-aged millennial mess. Because it's just so much more, to me, honest than VPR. Because it's like you have 2-3 pros who know how to move a show. But you have people who haven't done this before giving you real reactions. Even the ugly stuff we shouldn't be reading online. But I like that about the show, which is why I don't want them to add Sheena and Lala, although I keep seeing that campaign. Like, I get they live in the valley now, but they're both too produced to be on this show. And I understand that they all know each other, but no, I don't want that energy there. I feel like that's not, they won't add to what feels more genuine right now. Like I want to see them be a mess. I'm enjoying their mess on camera. It's helping me deal with my mess of my life.
I 1000% agree and concur. And I also think the thing that's like so fun to me about the Valley, amongst many other fun things, is that a lot of these people are friends with like Sheena and Lala. They've been around them. They've wanted to become in some way their friend. They've wanted that time in the spotlight. And this is the great example of be careful what you wish for. And also when you come onto the show and assume you're going to be the star and have an idea of how this works, it's like the audience is not that easy to necessarily understand. And it's just so interesting because I really do think that production and maybe the cast thought that Janet was going to be like the voice of reason. And that is not what I am watching. And it feels like when she's the voice of reason, it's usually with some level of being manipulative, which to me is fascinating because I know that these people have been surrounding themselves with Bravo Lebs and they really thought this is my time in the sun. I understand how it's done because I've been in that universe, but you really don't know until you're in it. And oftentimes it comes as a little bit of a not so great shock.
Yeah, like, and honestly, it's such a rookie mistake to think you can isolate any cast member, especially Dodie, and think that's, you can't ice her out. Not in that way. You have to let Dodie hang herself. And even if she did, honestly, we'd just be like, well, that's just Kristen. Like, she'll figure it out. Like, I don't know. Like, that was a bad move. But also, especially because, like, Janet, we can see you. We can hear you. Most of this mess that we enjoy is you. Like, you planted the seeds, and Zach is not a good messenger. The other person not a good messenger. And then what was the thing where she was like on the vacation, like the jar where nobody mentions Dodie?
Oh, and she's like, bucks.
And she's like the first person to mention her. I was like, like, whatever. No, she's played this wrong. It's great to watch, but No, you can't top Dodie in that way. It's only made me like her more. And almost want to buy her t-shirt whenever she put them back on sale. Bless her heart about that too. I do want her to get her business acumen a little bit more together. Cause the shirt should have been ready to be sold with that episode where they couldn't take any of the shirts home. I was like, what's happening?
What are the shirts? They're like based on band shirts. Is that right? But they're her designs, or are they not her designs? And that's not even a criticism. I like genuinely forget.
I just remember words being on a t-shirt and people bought them when she sold them. It just, that felt very her. I would buy a t-shirt, you know, I would help the cause, but you can't buy them yet. So it's like, so they can't take them home. They're not for sale after the episode. You want to have a baby, like get your own, send them the Daryl money. Like let's get this going. Yes, that's, Luke may help her with that, but I don't know about what else.
It's giving a little She by Jody. It's giving.
Yes. Yes. And look what happened. Not to pick out a wound, but look what happened to Sheree.
Okay, wait. This is not a great indicator for the upcoming season that I keep forgetting to acknowledge that there was a cast announcement that was made. There are two new people joining the cast. Kenya is there. Portia is there. Shamia is there. Cynthia is friend of. I might be forgetting somebody. Sheree is most certainly not. What was your reaction?
I don't know those three women they added.
Is it three women?
Three.
Okay, interesting.
I don't know if, well, I think they were announced as housewives. It gives Portia and friends, which I'm not mad about. I think Portia and Portia and Portia and Kenya are really good anchors. I can tell Candy threw them for a loop by not joining the new season. So that was probably part of the casting. I will not miss Sheree. I will not miss Sheree. I don't think, and I actually think the thing she did with Simon, taking pictures with Simon, it's just like, I'm sorry, she's a lay girl. Beautiful woman, she's done great things, but, and I've read Bravo books, she's always had she really thought that she's like a NeNe, and you're not that girl, respectfully. You're a legend, you're a reality legend, but not NeNe type. And she's not good at being an anchor at what she tried to serve in that abysmal season, because ultimately Sheree is messy and wants to take shots at people. So it's like, that's her purpose. And then bringing on Martell was a joke. That man is horrible. Just got convicted of like the domestic violence thing. But oh, yes. He sent his ex-wife text. Essentially threatening to expose some type of, I guess, sex tape that they made or something sexual. So like he threatened her with that, had a warrant out for a long time, got arrested. They tried to blame her about it, but it's like, don't threaten people, because I didn't like how he interacted with Kenya when Sheree brought him on the show. Like, he's a misogynist and he's weird. And I just read on the blogs, he got convicted. But back to the thing is with Sheree, I feel like if she were going to be honest about her life and stop giving us these fake goofy storylines and the whole bone collector bit, I'd be more interested. But She bought Sheree, like that took so many years, and then you're trying to charge 300 people dollars for like a Gillian shirt or whatever they are. Ridiculous. You don't talk about your real life at all. And when you do, it's just really sad, like the Bob thing. Like, what you mean you didn't know he had a whole nother daughter? And why is she just bringing him in the house? What? That didn't make any sense to me. I am cautiously optimistic, but my expectations are low at the same time, because I think it's going to probably take at least two seasons for a new cast to really gel. But I do think Portia's mess of a life is enough to carry a season. I will say Kenya always shows up to work. Cynthia comes at it without ego. And I say this as not an insult. She's happy to be there.
Yeah.
She's going to be there and talk to everybody. I don't think Sheree would have settled in a friend role even. She wants something else. Shamia is someone who I remember years ago got offered a peach, but her husband was the one that was like, no. So, and I like Shamia. I actually think she's a good friend for Portia. And she was checking Phaedra on a reunion, or at least going toe-to-toe with her. So I think Shamia might surprise us, because she has another. She's now the housewife with the rich African since Portia's left. And she's included in Atlanta. Like, she does the daily radio show with the Big Tigger. So I feel it's actually a nice mix of, like, the people I remember. I'm open to the new people. I just hope it doesn't go to, like, Zeus Basketball Wives territory. I don't want that. And I kind of worry about one of those new housewives based on something I saw, but we'll see.
Okay. Just want to counter Shebi.
Go.
They're just going to hire her again. So the fact that she was historically fired a third time, just bring her on. She's great. Have we not watched The Traitors? She gives great reactions. I don't need a lot from her. Just give it to her. I know I'm not like talking business, but like, I don't know. Neither is production. Just give her the goddamn peach. Just give it to her. I want to see her back. She's funny to me. We need someone who is an OG, who also has OG energy, who's also a little bit confused and lost. Sheree is singular in that. And I want to see her back in the cast. I think she deserves to be respected. And I deserve to be respected as an audience member. And also the new housewives are Brittany Eady, Kelly Farrell, and Angela Oakley. And it is very funny that when I said who the cast is, and when you just said who the cast is, both of us forgot Drew Sidora.
Oh, wait, I forgot.
Who I had a rage stroke over. And so, listen, could I be wrong? Do I hope to be wrong? Yes. But do I think that this season is probably going to be a flop? 100%. Like, the fact that you're giving Drew another peach, why? Why is that? She's so fucking annoying. She brings the room down. She does not have that it like energy. She doesn't have that sparkle. She just doesn't have it. I'm sorry. I know that like people try to convince us that she does, but she doesn't. This isn't going to be like some big shocker like how Mia broke out. Like, this is no, Drew's dumb. Like, I don't want this. This is not Atlanta MVP energy to me. I don't know who the new housewives are, so maybe they can surprise me. But no more Drew. I don't care that she's getting a divorce from Ralph. I don't want it.
You got me there. I actually forgot I blocked that out, I think.
The fact that we both blocked it out, doesn't that tell you something about how bad a move this fucking was?
I understand that, I guess. Based on that last abysmal seat, oh, it's not an excuse. I feel like Drew, I guess, on paper gave the most the last season, but what she gave us, I don't want. And I feel like, I genuinely feel like she's lowered the value of the franchise because she lies and she is an actress, but, and this is not a diss to all stage play actresses, but it gives big, like, the Chitlin' Circus stage play energy when she acts and, oh, because that performance, that pitiful performance where she sang to Ralph. Do you remember? That's what I mean.
That was awful. That was so cringe and sad.
Oh, I forgot Drew. I feel like basically he probably kept Drew over Sheree because she's cheaper. Was that it?
Yeah, but then guess
what? She's a cheaper liar.
She's a cheaper liar, but you get a cheaper show. I don't want a cheaper show. I want an expensive show. You've already taken away Simon's Well from me, which is like fine because I never trusted him. But I wanted to see Portia like buying, you know, bajillion dollar cars because it's a Wednesday. Like, I wanted to still see that kind of escapism. We might still get it, but it's just a different dynamic than the Portia that I thought than the Portia that I thought we were going to get. I'm very excited to see her back. We'll see what happens. But you cannot tell me that Drew is going to rise to the level that we deserve for Atlanta. Atlanta deserves to be at the top. Drew does not give me top energy. She just doesn't. I don't see it. I don't like it. I don't want it.
I'm sad Drew's back. I forgot. I really did block that out. I was like shocked. I was like, oh shit, I forgot they brought her back. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
A cheap contract might bring you cheap energy is all I'm saying. She might be great for the budget, but I don't know that she's going to be great for my heart.
She seems incapable of telling the truth. There's just a lot of repression and dumb. Like, she, yeah, dumb. I'm not excited. I forgot about that. Well, hopefully she's on the side and this might be her last season because, no, I didn't want her. You could tell I'm still shocked. I forgot I blocked her out.
I 100% forgot. I literally, you heard me say out loud, okay, so if Kenya and Portia's there, completely. And also the fact that the only two, am I getting this right? The only two housewives returning from last season, therefore, are Kenya and Drew. Does that make sense? Does that make sense to your heart? Kenya.
No, but I feel like Candy threw them for a loop. Because Candy makes sense as like a bridge between old and new, and just socially she makes sense. But she's like, give me my space, y'all took too long. Yeah, not Drew. I actually was hoping they would let her go. I don't want to see Ralph. I don't want to know anything about that. I wish her peace, but like, leave us alone. That whole, everything she says, ugh, okay, well, you're right. I'm sorry. I would switch her out for Sheree. Like, bring the bones.
See, this is what I'm saying. We needed to collect. She deserved to. And you know, obviously, this wasn't Sheree's choice. Obviously.
Oh, no.
Obviously.
No, she seemed like she was campaigning. I thought they were bringing her back when she had some hashtag she whatever. Mm-hmm. Production said no thank you. Well,
they didn't. They said we're not gonna buy into this dynamic, just like people aren't buying those sweatshirts because they're $9 million. I would have been happy to wear, you know, a t-shirt that probably would have lit itself on fire like after one washing. Like, I would have been happy to pay $19.95, maybe $29. You lose me when you hit 40, honestly, because I can't make that work in my head. But the fact that it's a miss for me. I cannot believe it's giving me flop energy, but I wish it the best. And I'm hopeful that it's going to be a great season because we deserve it. And Atlanta deserves to be on top. I just cannot believe that as a part of this strategy, after taking years and years and years to decide the upcoming cast, that Drew made the list. That does not make me feel positive about this season, but I will watch the fuck out of it. So there we are.
They must have really struggled with casting like they always do, but even more than usual. Yeah, I'll give her 3 episodes. We'll see. I'm happy Cynthia's there. She's so nice. And she's working. She's getting real acting roles. I saw her on BMF. I was very proud.
And she's also a frequent guest on Jeff Lewis Live on Radio Andy. And honestly, Cynthia Longform for an hour, total delight. She's so fun. She's like fun and effortless, and she is a real person. And I assume she's kept Lake Bailey. I know when she's in LA, she usually stays with her kid, because that came up on Hollywood House Lift, which she guested on, and has also come up on Jeff Lewis Live. And so I'm excited she's back. She deserves to be back, and she deserves to, you know, hopefully get paid well. So fingers crossed to her on that. Listen, Michael Arsenault, what an afternoon we've had. We've recorded for hours. My favorite place to be. Thank you so much for coming on the People's Couch, Zoom Kiki, et cetera, whatnot. This was a total delight. Can you tell the AGs and tippers where they can buy your newest book, a little bit about it, and where they can follow you on social and more?
If you like essay collections that will make you laugh and cry and feel a little less alone, I have one for you. It's called I Finally Bought Some Jordans. You can get it wherever books are sold. I don't care if you buy it from Amazon or an indie. A book sale is a book sale.
Just,
so
just buy that book. Buy that
just,
book.
Just buy it. It's paperback Toya, so it's affordable. You can find me at Young, S-I-N-I-C-K, Young Cynic. On all the platforms, I barely tweet, but I'm there. Instagram is a little bit better. I technically am on Threads, but...
And shout out to my friends at Threads, because I...
Oh, we love Threads.
We love Threads. We love Threads. Listen, guys, you can follow me on Instagram and allegedly Threads at Dame Galley. Join the Andy's Girls Patreon, number one way to support the pod. Get exclusive bonus episodes and so much more at patreon.com/Andy's Girls. $2 a month gets you my love and thanks. $5 a month is where bonus episodes kick in. You get 2 bonus episodes. $10 a month, you get 4 bonus episodes. And there's also a premium tier where you can record a Patreon episode with yours truly or have a private Zoom Kiki. The choice is entirely up to you. And I've had so many private and public moments with Patreon AGs that I have absolutely loved. So sign up at patreon.com/Andy's Girls. And Michael Arsenault, such a pleasure. Thank you so much for being so generous with your time this afternoon. This genuinely was so much fun. Thank you. Thank you.
I was about to say it's fun as always. Thank you for Portia Ray, but thank you for having me.
And to everyone listening, thank you so much. And we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.